Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
I'd like to take this opportunity once again to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner, where we come to you live and in living color on your radio dial each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, and remind you that we have a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock, and also that these shows are streamed on the Del Hall Horizon newspaper site, so you have lots of opportunities to listen live, to catch it on rebroadcast, or then call your friends and tell them to look it up online and stream it. Lots of interesting things that we talk about each Thursday morning here, and that we have talked about. And you know, like I said, if you hear something you enjoy, tell your friends and neighbors about it. Give them a call right now and grab you an extra cup of coffee if you're there at home, or some of the guys that may be out driving around. I think we've got some of the folks that work for the Twin Lakes Telephone that they tune us in while they're out in their service trucks. So we're grateful for all the folks that choose to listen to us, realizing that you have lots of other opportunities to do things. But we're grateful that you choose us here on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And we'd also like to do a shout-out for the folks that helped make this possible, that being the Clay County Chamber of Commerce and the Three Star Program. Through their help, we got this thing started a few years ago, and through their help that we're able to continue it, and, of course, all of the good folks in and around Salina and Clay County that purchase advertising there at the radio station. And we want to remind everyone also that today we'll be giving away another one of those birthday meals up at the galley at Mitchell Creek. And we'll remind folks now that you've got to do this during September, because they're going to close the restaurant down at the end of the month. But we'll be drawing one of those out here in a little bit. And I got a very special guest here with me this morning, Mr. Roy Henson. And there's no telling where we may wander off. I know he's got some specific things that he wants to talk about. And then we may wander off. Nobody knows where. We've been known to do that when we get together every once in a while. But with that, I think we'll take a little short break, work in a few commercial words from some of our sponsors right now, and come back, and we will get into today's show.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Trican Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
I had a little emergency phone caller I had to take for a second, but we're back. Mr. Roy Hinton is here with me this morning, and we are going to, I think we're going to start talking about what looks like maybe one of our few events that we're going to be able to pull off with our sesquicentennial this year, and Mr. Roy and I are going to be talking about that. I don't know whether I want to just throw that in there all together and just start talking about that, or if we might let Roy kind of introduce himself. Most of the folks here in Clay County know him based on two or three different characters, I guess. Roy, don't just tell us a little bit about yourself here to begin with.
Well, thank you, Ms. Thomas, for having me on today. I'm a retired teacher. I picked up a lot of my interest in history from my grandfather. Billy Burr was a barn builder in a lot of places. And the toys we do in the mountains, I got them from him, too. But he liked to tell stories. He knew more about my family on my dad's side than I did than my dad did. But what we're doing today is the interest that's had my attention a long time. We moved up to Clay County 2 months after the 100th anniversary, so we missed the first celebration. And then we planned the sesquicentennial this year, and the virus has delayed it. We're now trying to resurrect a program that we started to have in May. And here's the idea. We're trying to get, first of all, we got permission from the county mayor, and he's gone through the state and got permission that we can have an outdoor event that should be safe if you wear a mask and maybe gloves if you need to. The event's being sponsored by the West End FCE, and we're trying to resurrect the plans from March. And a lot of this will be, if possible, hands-on. Now, I know that's going to involve wearing gloves, but if people participate, they'll remember and enjoy it and probably take pictures and make comments. We're trying to avoid food and things that might complicate it for safety reasons. But the hands-on, if we wear gloves, I'll make it safe. And the mayor has said to do it all outdoors. So, Mr. Thomas, here's some categories we're looking at doing.
Okay, and it looks like we're looking at doing an outdoor event.
Outdoor event.
Setting up various stations there.
At the park in Hermitage Springs.
Okay, now there's a shelter there also.
It will seat several. We'll put most of the booths around the running track. Make it convenient to space them out.
Space everything out real well. And this is kind of I guess what you're looking at, maybe kind of a walk through history.
Yes.
Here and it's going to be kind of emphasized on the community down in the west end of the county.
Involving the early settlers and primarily 70 and before.
Okay.
Here's some categories. We're trying to deal with household implements for food preparation, such as making kraut, clothing items of sewing and knitting, weaving and household chores, drying foods such as strings of pepper, beans, drying apples that you used to make those wonderful apple pies. Then we've got farming and carpentry implements. Some of those still being used, by the way. But we're looking for things for mules or transportation. We want to have demonstrations of using things like a hand plane, maybe a draw knife, and possibly somebody with an axe if we keep people from getting in their way.
Losing a foot.
Yeah, a foot and a hand, too. Then we have already a promise of a blacksmith local and come and give demonstrations. And a local neighbor of mine has a grist mill on wheels, so we have that already committed. The local church is 180 years old, and they missed the celebration in August because they canceled all that, but we're going to let them participate with the booth, which ought to be historical because it's got lists of people, including Mr. Thomas's family and mine, back in 1840 or before.
Yeah, I think the first the name that he had he got a role there, and one of the first names I noticed there was Mr. Jonathan Gist.
Yeah, that's right.
He was about four generations back in my tree.
Griders, Pettigoes, Cherries, Yorks. No Hensons, but the other members of the family.
Now, can I ask you a question along that line? We've got two groups of Hensons here in Clay County.
We do, and spelled H-I-N-S-O-N, H-E-N-S-O-N, and two groups of H-E-N-S-O-N.
Okay, now what? What's going on there, Mr. Roy?
I think the census people sometimes make those mistakes. They go with spell. I do not. I think the possible they're all related back down or somewhere. I really think so.
You know, I think a lot of those folks, when they did their family tree this year, that they ran across, they started out being H-I-N-S-O-N-S, and before they got finished, they were...
They did, and sometimes people don't like their family. They change the spelling to distinguish... For example, the Pettigoes is spelled six different ways. Birdwells, three different ways. Sometimes that was purposeful, sometimes accidental for the census people.
You know, and I know on my side, some of the McLaren folks, some of them like to put an A in there instead of just E-R-A and E-R.
So probably all the same.
Right, they actually all trace back, I think, maybe to the two. Two folks that came over on the ship from Ireland or somewhere or another that were brothers and started the whole bunch.
Yeah, we're all, unless we're Indians, we're all immigrants back there somewhere. Here's some other ideas that might come up. We're going to talk about furniture and implements. We won't be doing bottom chairs, but we're going to discuss the process and how local people have done that to make your chairs with the bark bottoms. We're going to try to have displays of baskets, and we have a local basket maker who turned 100 years old and still trucking. That's the day where the first one turned 100.
Well, you know, Roy, the old ladder back chairs that were made, homemade then, and an old statement we had here forever was, you know, it's something, you build a chair and the wooden chair would last for generation after generation, but if you weren't careful, you wound up with no bottoms in them.
Yeah.
And we've always had a statement here that if you were tougher than hickory bark, you was a pretty tough customer,
wouldn't you?
So that's what happened. Those things were bottomed with hickory bark, and I think that inner bark there is probably about the toughest material around anywhere, wouldn't it? It would last usually as long as the chair did.
I've got a guy getting arthritis from handling I saw Mr. McLaren bottomed some of those, and his hands are probably swollen, the knuckles even yet from doing all that. Here's some other things. We're looking at lighting. In those days, before electricity, and remember, 1870, just 1 year after the first oil well, so they may have had some coal oil lamps, more likely whale oil, more likely candles made from tallow, beeswax. And before long, they had the what we call the coal oil lamps that gave light to the house the most, and didn't smoke as bad. Then we have implements in the house. They'd have coffee grinders, kraut cutters, candle molds. We are not going to discuss the dug wells much because they've all been filled in.
Yeah.
That was a skill, dangerous skill.
Right.
Fell in on people sometimes.
Go in and dig the big, and then go in and line the inside of it with rock. I mean, I can remember seeing those.
And putting a windlass to wind that bucket up.
Right.
I'm familiar with a little more recent with the dug well, and you had a 6-inch wide well bucket. But we had a sulfur well, and when the rope broke, we held our nose to the surface of water.
I have a couple of those old well buckets, I think, laying somewhere or another.
And they might still work. Let me describe, then we'll get some more detail. We're going to discuss clothing and these things. We'll probably have a demonstration of someone knitting, such as sweaters or socks. We think we can get a person with a treadle sewing machine because that began about the time of our county. We're pretty sure we can have a spinning wheel. I hate to do my knotty thread. That's all I can make of. I can get the wheel. We probably have a quilt frame showing how they roll them up on the floor. You do hang from the ceiling sometimes.
And that was a community event, wasn't it? Where
it really
the ladies in the community would gather around and have the quilt rack hung from the ceiling.
Terrific for storytelling and taking care of kids while you're working. They probably played under the thing as well.
Yeah.
And let's see, we've also got probably we'll have demonstration of the cards used to sort the fibers to make the rolls or the bats to make the quilts that's put inside them. Then of particular interest to Mr. Thomas and myself is he's been going with me for years to Smoky Mountains, and at Cage Co. we've demonstrated historic toys I have since 2006. This year, that got canceled too. So we'll have those hands-on toys showing the whimbadiddles and bull roarers, climbing bears, and things that entertain people on the frontier, which is what this was. But of particular interest at Hermitage Springs, it used to be called, of all things, Sugar Orchard.
Never heard that name before.
Sugar trees are growing on the height of 52, and that was before it was called Spivey, and now Hermitage Springs, because Spivey lived there. Let me see, we're going to try to have some of our people, because none of us lived back then, and especially young people, have a script where they can go through and explain a display and answer general questions. Our ad lib is Mr. Thomas and I, what we don't know. let me go back and get some more particular details. Ms. Thomas, things you want to input right now?
Let's take a little short break. Okay. Work in a commercial, and you can kind of arrange things, and we'll be back here just in a second.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Sitting here with Mr. Roy Hansen, and you know, we want to make one thing perfectly clear on this. Even though the folks down at Hermitage Springs, Dean Walden and her group, a very energetic bunch that really like to get out and get things done. But now they're looking not just for folks down there. This is a countywide celebration that they're hosting down there for the sesquicentennial celebration, and that this is going out to folks to all over the county. You know, if you have some of the old antique farm tools, things like that,
or a coffee grinder,
anything like that, you know, you can let the folks over at the chamber know about it, or you can let me know about it, and of course Mr. Roy, either any of us, and we'll get this thing put together. And I know while we were talking off air, another thing, the thought just hit me, birthday and anniversaries today, we got to do that here in a few minutes, and we'll be giving away another one of those dinners up at the galley up at Mitchell Creek with the caveat, I guess we'd say there, that you got to do it this month because the restaurant up there will be closing. But the winter through this month, we'll be getting, like I said, a dinner up at the galley at Mitchell Creek. And let's see. But while we're on that, remind folks, if you want to drive down to Gordonsville tomorrow night, we've got the football game down there, a big football game down there. And also that we're going to have a little, a classic car get-together around the Courthouse Square here next Saturday afternoon, beginning about 2 o'clock, to, you know, just drive in and follow all the COVID-19 rules and that type thing. But just we haven't been able to do anything here around the square, so I think everyone is, you know, wanting to get out and do it out in the fresh air. And you know, of course, the state rules will be in effect, you know, that things like masks are of course we can't say they're required, but they're requested. And you know, just kind of have a safe get together and we'll probably give away some trophies to folks that travel a long way to get in here and things like we try to give away an award every year for the ugliest vehicle here, so you can kind of get the idea of the things that we're going to be doing. But getting back to Mr. Roy, I think we were talking earlier off, and that was, you know, the history of the food preparation, which is, you know, something that you can't live without food. And you know, how did you go about preserving food back in those days, you know, when you didn't have the deep freezes and refrigerators?
Okay, that was a time, let's say 1874, we're changing over from the fireplace to the metal stove. And in the early 1800s, the first settled here in this county, of course, they'd use fireplace cooking with cast iron to swing over the fire. And all that required imagination.
And heat.
and danger as well. If they're preserving foods, fermentation was one. You'd ferment particularly some pickles, but especially kraut. I was speaking with one of the other day, he said, we stored it in the crock, and the longer you're waiting, it got stronger and stronger, and the bottom of the society couldn't eat it.
Do you know the recipe for making kraut?
I do. We made kraut, and what's funny, my wife packed it so much in the crock that the 1 gallon crock filled about 8 quarts when it came out. But all you did was add salt and put a cover to keep the bugs out.
So we automatic. So the this is one that it's brined.
It's brined. Uh-huh.
Well, now I can remember back when I was a youngster when we chopped up. I don't know, any of these other folks might remember that, but if you remember back when we were about, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years old, when they went and got a can of Spam at the grocery store, yeah, it had a little key that wrapped around the top of it. You took the top off, and when you did, you had a sharp edge there on top of a kind of a rectangular little Spam can. Made the best kraut cutter you've ever seen.
It sure did.
You know, a lot of folks, of course, had that real fancy kraut knives that they purchased, but now a lot of us folks around here, we didn't have them. We used Spam cans.
We used
chopper.
It's a two-blade one that came with my mother, and I use it still to make kraut. It's long.
Of course, the Spam can was a four-blader, so it...
and very sharp. You probably can cut fingers coming out of that one, too. Okay, here's other ways. To keep apples, you would store them in the spring, have somebody keep them cool as long as you could. That was fresh apples. Then you could peel and dry them. Now, I imagine the dried apples had fly specks because they were dried in the fresh air. But
and I think sulfur played it.
And then they used a barrel and hung sulfur and burnt the sulfur and sulfurated
and
apples.
Smoked those.
Smoked and sulfurated them and preserved them and then canned them in a dry store like that.
Well, now, Mr. Roy, I've got a little story there about, you know, one of the families around here that, you know, they've kind of a rough year for them.
Uh-huh.
And long about Christmas time, though, they'd about run out of food. So they would get up in the morning, and they would have dried apples for breakfast, and they'd drink a big glass of water for lunch and swell up for supper.
That's all they had. Some of them may know this, but it was said of a certain neighbor, he broke his arm having breakfast. He climbed up a seat for persimmons. Fell out.
So, fell out of the persimmon tree.
He'll tell who that is. The first canning probably came in close to the time when they had what are called zinc lids and rubber seals. The other lids came much later.
Well, the old glass lid.
Yeah.
The wires held on.
Yeah,
I think that was one of the first ones, wasn't it?
And then of course, you had all your crock, not the crock pots we cook in today, but crockery storage. Ones are pretty expensive in the antique stores. But they stored in those crowds. Dried beans, meal and flour, because they keep the bugs and vermin out. And so now those stores, we don't think about that because we've got refrigerators.
Right.
And all kind of steel.
Too, you know, we talk about the old country stores where there used to be pickles put down in the crocks that way and kept for a long, long time.
And then a bit later in history, you had the beginning of stores, and then you had the rolling store. My grandfather, Weaver Henson, ran a rolling store. My grandmother ran the local store, and he took it to the communities in an old pickup truck. I've got a picture of my brother there with the name on the door. We had one from Mr. Robert Gregory. I think that's Boone and Edgerton's wife's family, just passed away recently. He was one of those that came.
I can remember those also. I remember that they had things like store-made brooms hanging on those things.
But they'd buy eggs.
Right,
pay for
right.
Some of those.
You could, that's where they were, trading for groceries.
Yeah, that was...
You know, a lot of our parents say, we're going to go to the store and do our Saturday trading.
Yeah.
We'd spend it. By that time, they were trading money for the groceries.
Sometimes it was actually bartering. That's correct. Clothing. The oldest clothing would have been, of course... deer skins, but the hand weaving, which is something I restore antique looms, those clothes lasted, and because they were scarce, there's none left because they wore them out. And then they patched the pieces to make a quilt. The hand stitching and the weaving, and we've got a loom that's probably too big to carry out. I wanted to share with them. Let me talk about some hand tools. The oldest drill would be an auger, and you hold it in two hands and you twist it, and the object was you need two people to line it up in two dimensions so it was straight.
And that was really just a drill bit with a wooden handle put on it.
And you couldn't interchange it. Each auger was of a particular size.
Right.
For example, they were building barges on the river here at Salina, and my great-grandfather Alexander Birdwell was tying those barges together by drilling through 18 inches of wood to tie them together, and of course they had lined it up so make sure it wouldn't hit the board at the bottom of it. So those are good. And we'll have that where people can actually do that. They can see the difficulty or the fun of it all. Then we'll have a brace a bit, and that gives you the advantage of, first of all, convenience, and you could change the bit sizes as well.
And then the next step up from the brace and bit was the drill with a
twist
with
wheel.
A gear wheel on
gear
it,
wheel like
where you didn't have to do hardly as much work.
Speeding
the drill
out, and then of course the electricity came on in and replaced most of those. Let me see what else we were looking at. Household furniture, the bedding would have been rope beds and then feather bed mattresses. Now, the interesting story is you didn't want to sleep beside a person really heavy because you'd roll in right against them and you couldn't get away because the weight would pull you down, but they said you didn't get cold. We'll be talking, may not have us, we'll talk about those.
There's another interesting thing there also, Mr. Roy. You know, that a lot of the folks around here would have a herd of chickens, a flock of chickens, but then when it came time to have I guess the kindest thing would be a chicken killing,
yeah.
And they would have, maybe, you know, at that time process,
yeah.
Maybe 50 or 100 chickens, and of course, they would pick the feathers off of those chickens, and what he just mentioned there was that a lot of those feathers weren't thrown away. They were kept because they had to be graded into feathers that could be used to make a mattress or to fill a pillow with,
right.
Didn't they? And you couldn't just take one of the big wing feathers to do that with, because nobody wants to sleep in a feather bed that's got a quill sticking out of it.
Big wing feather and stick it in the corn cob, and you had the beginning of Lone Dark.
Yeah, and you'd have
rotate or put it in the back of an arrow.
And I'm sure some of our young folks discovered that and made them a ring out there and backed off and had contests,
well,
didn't they?
Fun with it like this. In the Hermitage Springs community, there's an additional activity. It was originally called Sugar Orchard because they literally tapped the big maples up what's now the, across my schoolhouse, along in February and March, and you'd cook that down and make maple syrup. Unfortunately, it takes 40 gallons to make 1 gallon. The second sugar sweetener was molasses, which could be made in massive quantities. And so one is called long and one's called short. The short sugar was the maple and the long was the molasses because you could have all you wanted. And that still is being done by the Alma Shemena communities. You can have it ground to go buy from them. We're also going to look at older photos. We can find photos, some back to the Civil War. I have a picture of a great-great-grandfather in Civil War uniform. And he died in 1866, so we know that the picture was made then. And we're asking if you have photos of older things. Mr. Thomas said he has one of a steam mill, and somebody else has one of a water wheel. We're trying to get those together to give you realistic views of how things were that are gone now.
Well, you know, that's something, folks now, they talk about, traveling between, out around Moss, and they turn right on the old mill road.
Uh-huh.
And I guess a lot of folks look, thinking, well, where was that old sawmill at? Well, that wasn't a sawmill.
This was a water wheel. It was called a
grist mill. Grist mill.
Grist mill. And your mill was on the hill, and a cable ran the wheel and ran it on top of the hill. My grandfather, great-grandfather, Alexander Burble, I think he installed and sharpened the stones in that mill, probably the 1870s. And of course, it washed away and it's been gone. But it's called Mill Road because you had a mill. But it was unusual. They'd run a 300-foot cable up the top and ran the mill every side of the road. And it's still called the Mill Road today. Let me see. We've got a few other things. I have a friend from church who's going to bring out a blacksmith shop and give a demonstration. It's a smaller version. You'll see how it works. The guy that's bringing the grist mill, we're going to try to say, let's cut this wagon in half. The mill is just like the old mills, but the gasoline motor is not. But we can't move a water wheel to the school, to the park, so we'll do that one. If any of you have ideas or material or can come and do a demonstration and volunteer to enjoy it and dress up. If you ladies have a long dress and a bonnet, it would be really appropriate to come in. The guys can wear overalls and things of that sort. We're going to work on the farm implements. I think we can show. We wanted to bring a mule. We may not. We like a mule in dress harness.
You know, we thought how neat it would be to have a work mule there with a set of gears.
Yeah.
And to show these folks, a lot of the younger folks,
you know, the process of getting a mule ready to become a work animal.
It took time.
And
you had to carry him up and get him ready.
Two or three steps you had to go through. Certain things had to go on first. Things had to go on the right end of the mule.
Oh, yes.
You had to be careful about things like that.
Okay, I want to mention another community. The Clemensville community is now simple, but it used to have a doctor, a post office, a school, and stores. The old tree was cut down by my son in 2006 because it was dead. My grandparents' pictures made there in 19 and 12, and he walked through the old road from Mount Vernon. Now, he was determined to meet this nice lady who was my grandmother, Beulah Hill, and the old building has been taken down. But the story was, he didn't go to church, but he could hear her singing all the way down that creek 2 miles away. So the wind was just right. He recognized her voice.
And I believe that when that tree was cut, they did a age certain.
Yeah, we figured about 300 years old. It had a big hollow, and we had to estimate the growth is much slower on the outside. But we counted those rings and estimated about 300 years old. So it's as old as the country.
And I believe at one time, Roy, wasn't that Clemensville area part of that over in the state of Kentucky?
Yes, the entire strip. Salina was too. You had about a 7 mile strip that was in, I believe, 1835. It's called the Walk South of Walker's Line.
Right.
The dispute was with Kentucky, and they finally resolved it. West of the Tennessee River, they gave it to Kentucky, and you'll notice it's a jag. And the east of it, gave it to the sea.
Yeah, that over there, there's a little wart that grows up on the map there in West Tennessee.
In fact, the land
people looked at and say, well, what in the world are them folks doing?
The land grants of the original settlers in Hermit Springs are recorded in Tompkinsville because it was Kentucky at the time they were given.
Right.
And so they can be seen and copied from the records in Tompkinsville.
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of those gift grants that were registered over there.
Yeah, and I think there's some of the Cherries Pettigoes. In fact, most of the area was actually granted, taken the Indians, given the settlers.
And, of course, now I guess at one time the river was the actual dividing line of this of what is now our county.
Yeah.
Because on the one side of the river was in Jackson County.
Yeah.
And the other side of the county was in Overton County.
Yeah.
And I know when the two counties joined together, and of course the city of Salina, the town of Salina was already here, and it was kind of centrally located, and it kind of became the center. But now we kind of wound up, you know, with the river here and things, and it's something that, golly, for many, many years was a dividing, really is a dividing line, but it also kind of divided the county and separated.
Telephones, we had the West End with a 699 West End, and we couldn't even call the superintendent's office where we worked.
Right, there were like, I forgot how many three or four zip codes here in the county. Area codes for the telephone. That type of thing. Long distance to call one end of the county to the other one, and also, you know, we had a bridge built here, the Henry Horton Bridge, back I guess in the 30s.
Yeah.
And the thing about, you know, something you get to looking at that, and we charged people to get across the bridge.
Sure.
And it was like, I think maybe like 25 cents to go over and 25 cents to come back. And in those days, 25 cents was a lot of money. And, you know, and if you're going shopping to buy groceries or whatever, you happen to think, well, you know, I got to pay to go over to spend my money, or I can go a little bit farther down the way to Red Bull Inn or over to Gamay or to Tompkinsville, and I don't have to pay to get in town. You know, I mean, you know, things like that we don't really think that much about that until we start with our history thing this year when we started doing a lot of research. Well, Mr. Roy, I'm going to let you finish up, and then I'm going to do the list of birthdays. And
we've got about a minute to this is hopefully a hands-on. I've had a rehearsal doing this. I taught alternative school at Smyrna. And we had things, and the more you had to hands-on, the more exciting it was, because it said, oh, this is how much it weighed, this is how you have it, what's that for? And we answered those questions. What was interesting, we had a blind lady who was spinning with a drop spindle and making a beautiful thread completely from touch. It was wild, so, and we had a lady came in and wove for us. So we're trying to do things that are locally involved, the history of the land grants, the way they lived, and what we want to do is give a snapshot of how it was, at least for a day.
All right. Sounds great. And we want to remind everyone that the date we're looking at is
the 24th and
of October.
October, and a rain date probably the second Saturday in November.
Okay. Of course, that sometimes weather's great then. Sometimes we may be fighting a flurry or something, but hopefully it'll be great weather. And
the long clothes will fit the cool weather. So.
Yeah. And but before we take our little break here, I'll go through and read our birthdays for today. Celebrating birthdays this time, Rebecca May Turner, Sue Smith and Ronaldo called this one in. Like to wish that one a happy birthday. Kai Strong celebrated his birthday, and Miss Evelyn Brown celebrated the birthday. And then a couple of here that don't live in Clay County anymore, but we'd like to wish, you know, some of their relatives probably listening, that Mr. Rodney Langford and Carol Spear Blaylock have been celebrating birthdays. And also here, Ashley Farrell celebrate the birthday. Kim Stevens celebrate the birthday. And Francis Crawford celebrate the birthday. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
And then you're...
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise. We'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Now, I have a surprise guest because we surprised her. Actually, we had originally thought hopefully that Roy's daughter Amy could come over and be with us because she's also a very, very interesting young lady, interesting character, the things she's been involved in, is involved in. And, you know, I know she has
She makes vintage era clothes, which I think she's selling now, vintage era costumes and things at her home. She would also have worked a few years down at the Hermitage, where she took part in reenactments of things that would have happened down at the Hermitage during Andrew Jackson's time. She also, I think maybe we went over to England somewhere or another and studied for a little while on how to make homemade shoes, ladies' shoes, which she does some of that. And we'll try to catch her at a later date. But luckily, we had a backup today, our new person over at the chamber, and I'll let her introduce herself and tell you a little bit about herself and tell us how she got where she's at right now.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Taylor Miller. Most of y'all know my favorite husband, or famous husband, I suppose.
Your first husband?
Yeah, my favorite and my first. He is the voice of the Clay County Bulldogs over there for their football and their basketball games, Mr. Michael Miller. But that's what I'm famously known as, is just Michael's wife. So I got the job at the chamber a little over a week ago. Still getting my feet wet. But we have some good initiatives that we're going for and good, I guess I should say, turnarounds. We're trying to change a few things up and add some jazz into it. And so the first part of that is we're going to be doing the Google business. A lot of our businesses here in Salina are not on Google business, and if they are, they're not verified.
Okay, now, what is Google business?
So Google business is a opportunity through Google, which whenever you open up your phone, you open up the map and say you type in Salina, Tennessee. And it's going to pop up Salina, it's going to pop up as a whole, and then you can type in shopping, hardware stores, bakeries, banks, funeral homes, bars, basically any kind of category there. It's going to pop up. And so whenever you verify your business on Google and say that Teddy Lou's over here is verified, then they say bakery in Salina, she's going to pop up. And so it's going to have her hours, her website if she has one, her Facebook link. It's going to have pictures of her menu, pictures of her food. That way that people can be enticed to go in and be like, hey, I want one of her donuts. Hey, I want one of her, I think it was a kielbasa I had the other day. And it was really good. It was a yeast roll with some sausage and peppers in there. And so anybody that's visiting from town, they can type it in their map and on their phone because, you know, everybody has their phone in their hand. And so they can, if they're up at the lake and they're like, hey, I need groceries, Scott's Best Way's going to pop up. They want, you know, boutique clothes, go shopping, they need flower arrangements, they can pop it right up there on their phone and it's going to pop up.
Okay, now during this era, the sesquicentennial thing, I thought that just popped in my little mind was, you know, folks that live in California now, and they've got letters or artifacts from from grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, and grandpa. And they're there, and like Mr. Roy was sitting here, and he talked about Spivey.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the only connection they have to Clay County.
Yeah.
And instead of just not on businesses on the map, but something to give you a little bit more work, it is, you know, so a little bit of history of like a community like Spivey. It's now Hermitage Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people will go in and do a search of Lodi in Clay County. Well, that was a little town out close to where Moss is now. And when they go in there and search, and they can connect that to what's here now, that is a great tool.
Yeah.
You know, things like the Leonard Cave, things like just all the different communities, not just businesses there.
Well, like that's already on our website, and a lot of that is that I'm, you know, updating that as well. So like whenever they type in, you know, the Leonard community, Clementsville, the type of Pea Ridge community, it's going to pop up our website first, and which is delhalllake.org.
Right.
It's going to show all that history there and, you know, different pictures from the era. And so all of that's already on there. I'm just updating it and tweaking it too.
Okay, let me ask you this. When that is there, does it, this would give them the option of mapping that area, which is connected to the Google map. And that's the same thing with what you're doing with the business.
Yes, so we want to make sure that everything that we do on our website is able to be mapped with the community here. And so as long as we get all of our little, they're called pinpoints, as long as we get all of our little pinpoints straight, you can go to our website, you can Google in anything basically to do with Clay County. It'll pop up on our website, and then you can click a link from our website, and it'll take you straight to that map, or it can take you straight to the map, whichever way that they actually do it on their smartphone or their desktop computer.
Okay, go ahead with your mapping thing. Did you finish what you wanted?
Yeah, I was good with the mapping thing.
Okay, now the website itself there, that it was, is DaleHollowLake.org.
Mm-hmm.
And now that is the chamber website.
It is, but we have everything to do with Clay County on there as well. We have a bunch of history, event schedules coming up. We have a link on there to the basketball program, to your program here. We have a lot of different things on there.
Okay, now, since you're here now in full time, updating things, are you going to have like a weekly community bulletin board type thing where you may come in and give football scores and things coming up?
That is in the future. Right now I'm still trying to get everything caught up from the past few weeks, but yes, that is ultimately the goal, that I will have everything from community events all recapped on Fridays maybe. Right now I just started a weekly newsletter for the businesses, and then once that gets up and going and I get my feet good and wet with it, then I'll move on to the community and get all that stuff going.
Okay, now, if someone wants to advertise on that.
Yep, just call me at 243-3338, or you can send an email to claytnchamber@gmail.com, and I will put it on the website, put it on the event schedule, put it on the LED board out there, and I can put it on our Facebook page as well.
Okay, and also now, the if you are a member of the chamber,
yes,
that gives you maybe a little bit of a heads up on the website also?
Yes. So right now, because we are not doing memberships right now, you know, it's not time for our membership kind of thing. We start that around November. These are services that after the first of the year are going to be for chamber members only. So after the first of the year, you will, if you are a chamber member, that's whenever I will still advertise for businesses that and individuals that have a membership through the chamber. But after the first of the year, that's what it is.
But now the mapping thing.
Yes, that'll be for everybody.
That's for everyone.
Yes.
You're in. That's for any business you're in the county.
Yes.
And well, now I'm wondering how far can you go? You know, one group that I think maybe that gets left out are independent contractors that do things.
Are
you going to try to get a bunch of, you know, like our, we have people that do remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that carpenters that build homes.
Yes. That is my goal, is to get every business, every individual, every person that has even a craft that they do. I know some people out in Hermer Springs that do crafts, and that's my goal, is to get them on there as well and get their business, and hopefully even get them on an Etsy page with the Angie's List, any kind of connection there. And I also want to list them on the website too. And our memberships are relatively cheap for all the services that we offer and are going to be offering, and they're tax deductible. So if anybody wants to, and I'll be doing all that membership stuff in November. Hopefully you'll let me come back then and discuss all this.
Oh, you'll be welcome anytime to come back. And, you know, and we're looking at including everyone in this. Total inclusion.
Yes.
You know, the more things about the county we get online, and online, of course, we all know is the way that
mm-hmm.
you have to do things now, because people, local newspapers, I know we've got two that come out weekly, and which means, you know, it, basically everything in there is at least 4 or 5 days old. And if, you know, right now we're in the era where we want things instantly. We want to know if, you know, what's going on.
Yes, if we can't find it out in 10 seconds, we're moving on to something else.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that this will be a great advantage for the county here,
mm-hmm.
because, and also I know that we're going to, we're about to run out of time, and you just got here. I know we're going to be doing, you know, things like trying to brand this county,
mm-hmm.
and to come up with a central theme or idea that to give people an idea of why, when they drive by this old courthouse here, they need to park somewhere and get out and look around here, and also, you know, and to spark their curiosity to see something that the Seven Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I probably know that that's a group of bluffs down the river.
Yep.
But, you know, people taking kayak trips, if they thought they could go through and see those things and that type of thing. And that's another business we've talked
yep.
about. That is the kayak and canoeing business yep. here, that we have one of the most beautiful kayaking rivers that you can kayak from up at Dale Hollow Dam.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually, well, you go down the river in the
yep.
Cumberland all the way to New Orleans if you want
yep.
to, and lock through down down on Cordell Hull. But, you know, that type of thing that, you know, a lot of people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, when we get the addition of the Donaldson Park down there that has a landing there
mm-hmm.
and that type of thing. So, you know, it looked like it's going to be a time of, you know, where we can, the thing that we really need is here forever, and that is give people that reason to stop here
exactly.
in Clay County, not just come through here on the way up to
exactly.
Dale Hollow or going over to Cookville or somewhere
yeah.
another.
Yeah, because we have everything to offer here, and so that's what, you know, that's what my job is now, is to help get us on the map, keep us on the map, and keep everybody updated. And that's, you know, like you said, you know, bringing the county together from one goal to flourish. And, you know, we have stuff in Hermitage Springs that people drive by and miss, and we have stuff in Union Hill, and hopefully we'll get more throughout the whole county, but it takes us.
Hey, we've got our distillery out there now.
Yes, we got the distillery.
Arno's finally legal.
Yep, he's legal.
And, of course, like you said, we just had the grand opening down there at the
yeah.
the ecosystem
uh-huh.
down there. And I know we've got, and another, we always want to remember that our folks up in the Maple Grove, Willow
yeah.
Grove area, that, you know, they're separated from most of us by the lake
mm-hmm.
now. But, you know, if we look back through history and we see the connection at one time, you know, you could throw a rock from Pea Ridge to
mm-hmm.
Willow Grove.
Yeah.
And, of course, now you got to drive all the way around the world to get there.
45 minutes to get over there.
And, but there's quite a few businesses up there.
Mm-hmm.
And things like, I guess one more thought, and we got to wrap up. If you'll reach in there and pull me a number out of there, we'll give somebody a dinner.
Right.
And I was going to, you know, I'm wondering how many bed and breakfasts we have operating here in Clay County now. Look like we have Miss Kim Stevens.
Uh-huh.
And so, Kim, you need to come out by the office and pick up a coupon or paper out there. It'll have your name on it and a picture of the galley up there, and you can take that up and trade that in for a great birthday dinner up at the galley. And with that, I think that it's about time to wrap up for today. Taylor, it's great having you here, and, of course, we'll get you back on more than one occasion
yes,
the next little
yes,
bit, because
anytime.
We do have some things coming up. Once again, remind everyone, we got a football game tomorrow night on the road, and next Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but the next, we're going to have a little open
mm-hmm.
area here at the courthouse. We're going to tape it off and let folks bring classic cars in or anything you want to. Come in, practice social distancing, and kind of follow the state rules, and enjoy gathering around here for the first time since golly, back in May, I
guess.
I know,
it's been a while since we've
been a long time. And like I said, you don't have to have a classic car to come down and enjoy and put your mask on, walk around, and meet folks from here that you haven't seen for a while here in Clay County and from around this area. But with that, I guess it's time we said, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here next week on WVFB FM 101.5. And remind you to call it 243-5574 to get your name on the birthday list. And we'll have, I guess, maybe one more of the dinners to
yes,
give away.
One more to give away, and then we'll go down for the season.
Then they'll be closing for the season.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I guess, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.